Well, g'day everyone, and welcome to The Journey this week. My name's Jude Hennessy. I'm the Director of Renewal and Evangelisation for a diocese south of Sydney called Wollongong. We do a lot of different stuff, and this show is one of them. We're really privileged to be going out across the airwaves in so many radio stations, about 34, 35, something like that now. I lose count. We get more coming on board all the time, and we absolutely love contributing to the ministry, which is Christian radio, and doing so with some people from the Roman Catholic world who want to contribute to the wonderful ecumenical initiative that Christian radio is, and they contribute to this show, which is all about building up people in their walk with Jesus, in faith, hope, in love, and in drawing people into life in all its fullness. And to do so this week, we've got some awesome people. First of all, Peter Abella. Come to know Pete over the last few years because of our connections through Alpha, also because of the way he's diving into men's ministry in our diocese. He's a clever guy. He's a prayerful guy. And today in his Habits for Disciples God Spot, he's talking to us about making deliberate choices. And he's got some great insights for us at a particular time of, well, turmoil for his family when his wife Leonie was diagnosed with cancer. Really raw, really honest, and great insights. We'll also be hearing from Trish McCarthy. She wants to talk to us about masculinity and femininity and how we're made in the image of God. Great to have Bishop Tony Percy with us. He's an auxiliary bishop in Sydney. He's got some great stuff to say to us this week about the prophet Amos and the Gospel of Luke, challenging us to get out of our comfort zones. Mother Hilda Scott, she's with us, of course. She is each and every week. She's going to talk to us about how love just gives and keeps on giving. But to kick us off, we're going to hear from Father Josh Wicker. He's a priest with the Missionaries of God's Love. Josh is breaking open this week's gospel for us too. Luke 16, 19 to 31. That's the gospel reading that's set down for this 26th Sunday in ordinary time. And he's got a really strong message for us about avoiding the tendency, the pitfall of just clinging to material things, like they're the things that matter, or the things that will save us or keep us secure. So some great stuff that you're about to hear from Father Josh Wicker and all of our presenters. Max Norden's going to proclaim that gospel for us now. Then it'll be time for some great music. We pride ourselves in giving you a really good mix of music in the show that links in well with the themes of the Godspot presenters. And this week, yeah, kick us off. You're going to be hearing from All Sons and Daughters for Your Glory and My Good. We've got a lot to get through. I better get out of here and let the wonderful presenters do their thing. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linen and feast magnificently every day. And at his gate there lay a poor man called Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to fill himself with the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even came and licked his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In his torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus in his bosom. So he cried out, 'Father Abraham, pity me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' 'My son,' Abraham replied, 'remember that during your life good things came your way, just as bad things came the way of Lazarus. Now he has been comforted here while you are in agony. But that is not all. Between us and you, a great gulf has been fixed to stop anyone, if he wanted to, crossing from our side to yours, and to stop any crossing from your side to ours.' The rich man replied, 'Father, I beg you to then send Lazarus to my father's house, since I have five brothers, to give them warning so that they do not come to this place of torment too.' 'They have Moses and the prophet,' said Abraham. 'Let them listen to them.' 'Ah, no, Father Abraham,' said the rich man, 'but if someone should come to them from the dead, they will repent.' Then Abraham said to him, 'If they will not listen to either to Moses or to the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone should rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the Gospel Reflection with Father Joshua Wicker.
I have these vivid memories from when I was a child, particularly when my mum or my dad cooked a really big serving of my favourite kind of foods for dinner, that I'd make sure I'd try to heap up as much onto my plate as I could, because I kind of really didn't want to miss out on the good stuff that I wanted, and I didn't really care too much about whether I had more than my siblings did. There was this one great example where we had this big bowl of fresh strawberries, and to the annoyance of my siblings, I probably ate 4/5 of the bowl of strawberries. And I don't know what it was. It was something within me that I kind of went, I need all of this stuff. And I don't really care whether anyone else gets any, but I need this for me now. And I think this could be something of our experience of life, that we can cling to the things of this world, the material things, the created things in our world. Partly, I think, because we kind of have this fear that we're kind of not going to be enough, or we're not going to have enough, that for some reason we need to look after ourselves and have plenty and lots left over just in case, to save it for a rainy day. And often what happens on the flip side of that is it means that others tend to go without. What it often means is that we fill our lives with so much of our own things, we don't make space for Jesus in our lives and we don't make space for others. And this gospel challenges us today, as does the other readings that we hear, to ask ourselves the question, what do we place our hope and our trust in? Is it in the material things, in the material world, in the created world, in making sure that we can accumulate enough of our own things? Because if we do that, what we're really doing is saying that we don't actually trust in Jesus. What Jesus invites us to is not to place our trust in goods of this world, but in the graces that He gives us. Not to hold to our possessions, but to place our trust in the power and the presence of Jesus in our lives. So the invitation as we come into this Eucharist, as we listen to these readings today, to ask ourselves the question, do I place my trust in myself and in accumulating things in my own way? Or am I willing to take that step, that courageous step to say, you know what, I want to place my trust in Jesus, that Jesus, He is enough for me. That He'll provide for me and protect me and give me everything that I need. Because when we do that, we don't cling to the things of this world anymore, but we find we can share them with those around us, particularly those most in need. So let's ask for that grace, to cling and to find our hope and our comfort in Jesus, and to live a life where we give our souls of others, seeking to share in His great gift of self-love to the world. Amen.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
My unbelieving heart.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
Love ever lives, and while it lives, it gives. For that's love's prerogative, to give and give and give. In our own lives, haven't you and I seen this to be so? Watch an elderly woman with her disabled adult son and you'll see it. Have a good look at someone's hands next time they serve you. Some people's hands talk about a life of complete givenness, you can see it. I saw an interview the other day with a young woman who's collecting money to increase the allowance of the food rations for refugees caught in the various camps in the Middle East. To make her point, she and her team decided to live on the rations for a time and let the effects of such paltry nourishment have its effects on them too. It hit them at every level, physically, psychologically, but then love gives and gives and gives. When you and I go to the supermarket, you know, we could actually do this. Make a point of being aware of how you can give love on that supermarket visit. Perhaps smile at someone, greet a child, stand back for another, lend a hand, greet an annoying remark with humour and self-deprecating humility. Make sure to be grateful and say thank you. Let everyone know that they've encountered love because you came into the shop. I'll tell you, it'll become like a roller coaster. Because love does indeed live, and it gives and gives and gives. I know it's only a small thing to us, but actually love doesn't have a size. There's something else. It can truly be said of God. God ever lives, and while he lives, he gives. For that's God's prerogative, to give and give and give. He enters your life, lives in your heart, and he gives. When was the last time you noticed his giving?
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott. And she called this week's piece, Love Gives. And while pointing to examples of love just giving and giving and giving in the human dimension, recognizing too that its origin, its source, in fact, love itself, is God. Thank you so much to Mother Hilda Scott. And before the break, to Father Josh Wicker too, who kicked off the show for us with this week's gospel reflection. And to continue in that vein, pretty shortly after the break, we're going to be hearing from Bishop Tony Percy. He's going to make some references to the Gospel of Luke, but also to the prophet Amos in challenging us to move out of our comfort zones. Now, those of you who are regular listeners to the show would know that we're pretty big fans of Alpha, and we're so grateful to so many other denominations that have encouraged us and to explore Alpha. It's such an easy tool to use, to invite people to something that's really simple, but for them to hear the basic gospel. And so I want to encourage people to register for the upcoming Alpha conference, specifically targeted at Catholic churches. And it's going to be held in Sydney from Friday the 31st of October till Saturday the 1st of November. It's called The Way of Hope. It's being done in partnership with the Archdiocese of Sydney. But people from all around the country come into it. I know Father Mike Delaney, he's coming up from Tasmania. He's a regular contributor to our show. He's another big fan of Alpha. Come along, be encouraged. See how Alpha can help your parish. There'll be times of prayer. There'll be times of inputs and formation and some great insights into how Alpha can help your parish make the main thing the main thing. And that's making Jesus known and loved and to bring people to an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Check it out by just jumping in your search engine and typing Alpha Catholic Conference 2025 in Sydney. Get on board. Let's hope we get hundreds there because Alpha is having a huge impact in all the churches and it's really waking large sections of the Catholic Church up for the power of evangelization and the power of the basic gospel. More music now. Here's Christy Knuckles, Love Can Build a Bridge, and we've also got Crowder, My Sweet Lord. Bishop Tony Percy, not too far away as he challenges us to get out of our comfort zones. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you joined us on the journey.
gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat. And I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams when all your hopes are sinking. Let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. And don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? Every heart could understand that love and only love can join the tribes of man. And I would give my heart's desire so that you might see the first step is to realize that it all begins with you and me. Love can build a between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. And don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? When we stand together, it's our finest hour. We can do it.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Oh, Blind is the fool. I see that now. I broke the rules and let you down. I walked alone. Now
with his weekly reflection, here's Bishop Tony Percy.
The theme of the dangers of wealth is once again with us this week. We had that last week, if you recall, the dangers of wealth in Luke 16, and we have the parable of Dives and Lazarus today driving home again. It's a very potent parable, and Luke loves to highlight this problem. Of all the Gospels, I think I said to you that he's the one that most highlights the dangers of wealth, of material wealth. I think I made the point to you, in fact, I did make the point to you last week, that it's good to have an interest in money. It's good to have an interest in money for two reasons. One is because we want to get people out of material poverty. We don't want to promote material poverty. In fact, a large part of the church's mission has been just that over the centuries, to help people get out of poverty. And that means that some people, quite a few people, have to have an interest in money. And that's important for that reason. Important not to have a love of money, as St. Paul said to Timothy. Now, the love of money is the root of all evil. But having an interest in money is important because it creates wealth and then it can be distributed. And also because money is there to serve higher values. As Jesus says, use money. This is from last week's Gospel of Luke. Use money tainted as it is to win you friends. So you can see there that money is there to serve higher values, like friendship, like love, like communion with our families, communion in our families and with our friends. A sense of gathering around a table to celebrate someone's life or some particular aspect of our friendships with people. And we need money to do it, and money's a very good thing for that reason, but we've got to see the right ordering. So use money to win you friends. And we had that reflection from St. Augustine's Confessions, that beautiful passage which operated like a little meditation for all of us last week on the beauty of friendship and why it's important. So that's an important point about wealth and wealth creation and wealth distribution. We're living at a time of profound wealth creation. Never have we seen such an extraordinary explosion of material wealth in the world's history. We in Australia, we are sort of declining. We have been declining for the last decade. That's true. I mean, you may have seen the news last week that in the OECD countries, the average citizen in an OECD country has had a 22% rise in living standards for the last decade. But that's not true in Australia. In Australia, over the same period, in comparison to these other countries in the OECD network, We've had just a 1% rise in living standards. So we're falling back behind. Nevertheless, we can still say that Australia is a profoundly wealthy country, and we've had wonderful natural mechanisms to distribute wealth. So we can think of the public and private health system, the public and private education system. We can think of things like superannuation, which have helped ordinary citizens share in the enormous wealth of the country. And that's been a marvellous thing that we've done in Australia. There's no doubt about it. It's far, far be it for us to lecture other countries on this, but we have had, to a large degree since our inception, because of the way the founders of the country have organised and set up the country, we've had a really free and fair society. Now that's being challenged. Certainly the freedom is. There are a lot of attacks against freedom of religion. There's a lot of woke ism that's out there now, which is preferring minority groups over the common good. And there's been great problems now with the distribution of wealth. I think all of us can see that happening in various ways. Nevertheless, we are living at a time of profound material wealth. And so there are dangers. I mean, just stop and think, for instance, that, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, the things that were basic comforts or the were comforts in our life have now become for us basic necessities. I mean, as we walk down the street, as we go shopping, as we go get on a train, it's very rare that you don't see someone today who has a mobile phone in their hands. And this is a clear manifestation, a clear symbol of the sheer wealth that we have in Australia and how that is being distributed largely fairly and justly in our societies. That's a marvellous thing. And so we're living at a time of great material wealth, and along comes the prophet Amos with these wonderfully potent passages just to sort of throw into the system a bit of a shock for us to say, hang on, wait a minute, am I really just showing an interest in money, or have I become to fall in love with money? Has it become a preoccupation? And therefore doing immense damage to the spiritual life. As again, as Paul said to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. So if we get at this, if we can put aside the love of money, have a healthy interest in money, then there's a large chance, a big chance, that we will find our spiritual life really motoring on and being ordered in the most correct purposes. So here's the passage, a couple of passages, here's one passage from the prophet Amos, which occurs this week. Woe to those ensconced so snugly in Zion, lying on ivory beds and sprawling on their divine. That's from the prophet Amos 6. So go and read the whole reading. It's very potent. Woe to those ensconced so snugly in Zion. Well, that's us. We're pretty snugly here in Australia, lying on ivory beds. It wouldn't have been too many Australians that didn't lie on a bed last night, even though we do have an increase of homelessness as we walk our cities. It's a terrible scourge. But still, most of us are lying on wonderful beds, sprawling on their divine. Now, what makes this interesting to me was a commentary on this particular passage this Sunday by a guy called Father Henry Wandsborough, who's a Benedictine. And his commentaries appear in a wonderful app called Universalis, which gives you all the church's liturgy each day and more. Some great spiritual traditions in there, and books that are free, able to nourish your spiritual life. And Wandsborough comments on this particular passage of Amos. Here's his comment. He transposes it into the 21st century, and it's quite amusing, but very helpful, I think. I think you'll find this very helpful. Alas for those who lunge in front of the telly, munching their crisps and slurping their lager. Alas for those who zoom the streets, singing raucously along with their blaring radios. So you can see how he's transposed the woe to those ensconced so snugly in Zion, lying on ivory beds and sprawling on their divine, from Amos. Well, then, having done that, he asked the question. The real question is whether these people maneuver themselves off the couch for the sake of the needy person at the door, and whether they spring out of the car to help the blind person across the road. Yes, that's the point, isn't it? Are we so embedded in luxury that we just cannot see what needs to be done for those that are less fortunate? So we ask the question, how far can Jesus push me? Can I get pushed off the divan? Can I get pushed out of the car seat? And then he says, well, look, one thing is for sure. It is always one step further than my comfort zone, one step further. So yes, that is a very good way of letting our conscience examine us and say, am I readily available to help those that are in need? Or am I so ensconced in my wealth that I've been paralyzed by it? Very good question.
Well, thanks so much to Bishop Tony Percy there. What a great message, being asked, how far can Jesus push me? Will we let him push us? And I love that line from Bishop Tony there. One thing's for sure, it is always going to be one step further than my comfort zone. Thank you to Bishop Tony. And I just want to encourage any dads or lads, fathers and sons, or perhaps some mums or friends of those people who are dads and lads, to encourage fathers and sons to get along to the Men Alive Growing Good Men weekend. It's going to be held at the Tops Conference Centre, south of Sydney. We already know we've got people coming from all over Australia for this. It's been run by some great guys from Men Alive Australia. I'll be there too, giving a hand and doing some things in various capacities. It is so impactful when we get dads and their teenage sons between the ages of 13 to 17 to come together and to commit to each other, to journey through some conversations in a really honest and open way. After some formation and talks, it's a bit of a game changer for dads and lads, and I've been involved in this now for coming up for 7 years now, and the impact on so many lives and families is tremendous when dads and lads are given the time and the space and the tools to have some really good conversations, to commit to each other and to journey with each other into manhood. It's being held from the 5th of December to the 7th of December, as I said, at the Tops Conference Centre. Just jump into your search engine online, go to Growing Good Men Weekend 2020-25, and hey, I hope to see you there. After the break, speaking of things masculine but also feminine, Trish McCarthy's got some really cool things to say to us about masculinity and femininity and how we're all created in God's image. But first up, here's some more music from one of my favourites, really, Matt Maher, Awake My Soul. Faith, hope, love and life, my name's Jude Hennessy, and you're still on the journey.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. A thousand songs are not enough to say how great You are. The glories of Your majesty, the triumphs of Your love.
Songs of a thousand songs, forever You are.
You are worthy of the songs of a thousand tongues.
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey. And now it's time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
There is a truth in my own life that I am created in the image and likeness of God. And that includes being charged with both masculine and feminine energy. It is true whether you are male or female biologically. We hold within us a reflection of God's own nature, both masculine and feminine. In living a balanced life, it is good to acknowledge that we experience both of these as a reflection of the mark of our Creator and seek always to authentically express and in turn interact with others from this place. So what is feminine energy? Words that come to mind are flow, connection, love, relationships, sensory delight, unbridled, wild, nurturer. On the other hand, masculine energy looks like things of structure, outcome, mission, direction, purpose, freedom, independence, challenge, strength and protector. You can see how both are necessary, complementary and important to nurture within ourselves. When one dominates over the other, our capacity to live a well-balanced life is stifled and it will show up in our daily experiences. If in hearing this, you sense that you may need to pay attention to this balance of energy, then there are experiences that we can engage with that help to restore balance. If you have an abundance of feminine energy, you may wish to sit down and set some goals, write a mission statement for your life, create routines that help you prepare for life's tasks, set a challenge that will serve your growth, go away for a weekend on your own and pursue a sense of clarity, or teach someone and impart your wisdom. If you notice an abundance of masculine energy, you may wish to spend time unplugged in creation, particularly time by moving water, which by nature is quite feminine. Immerse and awaken your senses, your breath, your body, sight, sound, smells. Open yourself to pleasure and reconnect with your key relationships, being purposefully attentive and listening well. I encourage you to be creative and purposeful in engaging with this as you become fully alive with the presence of God.
Well, thanks so much to Trish McCarthy there. She's given us a lot of stuff over a long time, and she had some great things to say to us there about finding that balance in the way that we embrace the experience of being masculine and feminine. Here's Chris Tomlin now, the song Waterfall, and after the break, you're going to be hearing from Peter Abella. His segment's called Habits for Disciples, and he's got some pretty profound things to say to us about making deliberate choices. And he's going to speak about how sometimes when life throws us a curveball, reevaluating things can help us to do just that. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. We're getting close to the end. I'm so glad you've joined us on the journey.
Oh God, my God, I seek you. I want to move when you move. You're more than I could long for. I thirst for you. You're an
together on the journey. Faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Now, with Habits for Disciples, here's Peter Abela.
One summer's evening, almost 10 years ago, we noticed a lump in my wife's abdomen. The GP ordered scans, but apart from revealing that the lump was large, nearly 4.5 centimetres by 4 centimetres by 2.5 centimetres, the scans were inconclusive as to what the lump was. He referred us to a specialist who recommended cutting the ony open to remove the lump. When we returned to visit the surgeon a couple of weeks after the operation, he gave us some news. The lump was a rare type of aggressive tumour, a 1 in 20 million event. He told us that the future was uncertain. He quoted two small studies which saw the same type of tumour return within 3 years for 30 to 50% of patients. The surgeon recommended that Leonie be scanned 6 monthly, and after each scan there would be one of three possible outcomes. In the best case, there would be no new tumour. If the tumour did reappear, hopefully it wouldn't be too close to a vital organ, in which case the surgeon would remove it again. He concluded by saying that if the tumour was next to a vital organ, we'd be having a different conversation. At the time, our kids were only 3 and 5 years old. Leonie decided that she didn't want to keep working and potentially miss out on time with our children. She also wanted to make changes to the way we lived our life in order to prioritise family time and experiences. And so, she finished her professional working career a few months later. I suggested at the time that perhaps with hindsight, we might find this was one of the best things that has happened to us. That perhaps the scans would keep coming back clear and that we would have the benefit of living a different sort of life than would otherwise have been the case if the tumour never emerged. It has been nearly 10 years now, and so far, the scans have been coming back clear. This got me to thinking about the importance of deliberate choices in our life. There is a saying that nature abhors a vacuum, and I certainly experience this with free time. In my experience, all free time gets consumed one way or another. However, if we are deliberate, we can use our free time for vital, life-building things like prayer, family, and service. And if we're not deliberate, our free time will be consumed anyway, possibly by doom-scrolling, binge-watching, or chasing extra work for more money. This is an important question to reflect upon regularly. How are we spending our time? We might not be called to do something radical and give up work altogether. However, we might be able to make deliberate choices to use our time in order to better serve our God, our family, our church, or our community, rather than simply living life on autopilot and missing the opportunity to invest in these life-giving experiences.
Blessed are the chain breakers, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the ones who go. Blessed are the heartbreakers, blessed are the dream chasers, blessed are the seeds they sow. Blessings in the streets now, blessing by the priest now, blessings on the radio. Blessings in the sunshine, even in the nighttime, blessings everywhere we go. Blessed are the grieving, blessing when we lost it all.
Lost it all.
Blessed in the tears, blessed in the fears, blessed every day we grow. Blessed through the years, blessed when he's near, God won't let us go. Oh, I
Thanks so much. That was Habits for Disciples from Peter Abella, and he spoke about making deliberate choices, in particularly making choices about time and about time with God, time with family, serving others, rather than just letting ourselves drift along and be bumped around by the currents, how important it is to make deliberate choices. And he spoke about how sometimes when significant events or crises or struggles come, or emergencies even, that we just need to reevaluate things and make those choices, choices for the better. Thank you to Pete. I'm really looking forward to the prayer breakfast that Pete is going to be guest speaking at, the first of our regular prayer breakfasts that we're going to be holding for men in the Diocese of Wollongong. That'll be on Thursday, the 20th of November. Say more about that later. Thank you to him. Thanks to Trish McCarthy, to Bishop Tony Percy, Mother Hilda Scott, and Father Josh Wicker, who all contributed wonderfully to the show. We will be doing it all again next week. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and I hope you can join us again next week on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.